Welcome to today's exciting episode of our eCompulse podcast. We're thrilled to have Blake Droege, Senior Analyst, Retail and E-commerce at eMarketer, join us for a deep dive into the dynamic world of shoppable media. Blake has been at the forefront of analyzing the shoppable video era and brings valuable insight from his latest report. In this episode, we'll explore the blurred lines between media and commerce, shedding light on how digital media is evolving with shoppable call to actions. Whether it's QR code popping up on your screen or a link to a live stream, we're discussing how everything from YouTube videos to TikTok posts is becoming a gateway to shopping. Blake shares fascinating perspectives on how brands are navigating this new landscape, with a focus on TikTok's foray into social commerce and Meta's approach. We'll explore the changing dynamics of content discovery and the shifts towards shoppable content on platforms like TikTok and YouTube. Expect to hear Blake's expert take on live shopping, the effectiveness of short-form content in driving sales, and how big brands are leveraging these new opportunities. This is a can't-miss episode for everyone interested in the intersection of media, advertising, and e-commerce. Join us as we unpack these trends and understand what the future holds for shoppable media in 2024 and beyond. Let's get started. Welcome to the eCompulse, your heartbeat to the world of e-commerce. I'm your host, Eitan Kotter. Join us as we meet with industry leaders, marketing experts, and the innovative minds behind the tech that is shaping the e-commerce future. So plug in, gear up, and get ready for a pulse-pounding journey into the heart of e-commerce. Blake, how are you? Welcome to the show.
I'm good, Eitan. Thanks for having me.
Yes, welcome. Very good to have you here. Blake, I know you've been spending a lot of time covering an insider intelligence, the shoppable video arena. I mean, there are so many news are happening on a weekly basis. So plenty of things to unpack. Let's start probably with the latest report that you've published around shoppable media. Let's start probably by sharing with the audience. Let's define shoppable media, what it is, because I guess it's confusing. And what of us, we'll please share with us also some of the key highlights from that report and try to unpack them during this episode.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that one of the main reason why I set out to write the report, not only is there a lot of activity in the space right now, but it is still sort of an amorphously defined landscape. When people talk about shoppable media, oftentimes they're speaking about a mismatch of different experiments and opportunity. But what's really at the crux of it is this intersection between media and commerce. And that's something that I certainly spend a lot of time researching at Insider Intelligence. And we've defined shoppable media at its core. It's a very broad definition, as any form of digital media that includes a shoppable call to action. So this could be, you know, a link on a YouTube live stream, or perhaps a QR code that you see pop up on an ad when you're watching connected TV that could lead to a product detail page where the items can be either added to the shopping cart or purchased right away. And then another key distinction when we talk about shoppable media is it includes both organic media, so a piece of content that might be produced by an influencer, creator, or perhaps a brand. But it can also be a shoppable ad, as long as that ad is taking place within the realm of where you would normally see a traditional ad. So to give you an example would be an advertisement seen on connected TV that sort of mimics the format of a traditional linear TV ad, except for due to the fact that it's digital or there's a QR code that's tied in. It has a shoppable component. So it's certainly very, very broad. And I think the reason why the industry tends to struggle with defining what are the opportunities in this space is every different facet of shoppable media, I think, has a little bit of a different opportunity. And it's very different and very nuanced in ways that both retailers and brands should be approaching these different types of opportunities. So that's basically what my report set out to do, is define the landscape, and then dig a little bit deeper into what are the nuances and where are the potential opportunities.
Yeah. So it can be an organic content. It can be a promoted content, right? It can be video-based, picture-based, as long as there's a kind of a call to action for some kind of a conversion to purchase a certain product, correct?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, content formats extends from anything from images and videos to written content, the platforms, digital video, social media, connected TV, publisher sites. We've seen, for instance, Instacart has collaborated with publishers to create shoppable recipes. So there really is a lot going on in the space that all has this general tie-in of bringing the media, the ads, and the commerce worlds together into one format.
Yes, and few things just collided right in 2024 to make this such an explosive opportunity. Or, you know, time will tell. One side is the TikTok that says, "Hey, heavy video is now, we can make every video shoppable." So it's pushing social commerce to the extreme with fulfillment and, you know, let's say competing, try to grab some of the Amazon business. On the other side, we have the big retailers with the retail media opportunities, and like the Amazon and, you know, obviously try to leverage Amazon Prime with ads on the big screen CTV. So there are like few North Stars that are just pushing this all together. What else do you see here that is driving now this opportunity?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the story that really, I think, got everything moving again and the excitement brewing again was really the early success of TikTok Shop. Now, TikTok Shop is obviously very new, and there's a lot of sort of uncertainty and a lot of kinks that need to be worked out before we can really clearly define it as a success story. But it's certainly gotten a lot more traction than any of the other social commerce activations that we've seen, at least in the US. So I think that's gotten the industry talking more about shoppable media to an effect where there wasn't as much conversation around it since live streaming during the pandemic really started to generate a lot of buzz, but then has since sort of it died down a little bit. But I think TikTok Shop has really revitalized the conversation about what are the opportunities here. Yeah. What my report really gets at is when you connect what's working on a platform like TikTok Shop and the shoppable video content that has become available on TikTok, is as other retailers, media platforms, tech companies try to mimic that type of shopping behavior and shopping discovery behavior on other platforms, such as connected TV, what is that really going to look like? For me, it's going to look very different because the inherent shopping behavior on social networks is very different from the way that someone might discover a product and engage with an advertisement on connected TV. So the stories that we're hearing now from Amazon adding advertisements to Prime Video, which is going to open up a lot of potential for shoppable ads. When I hear those stories, what I try and look at is consumer data and analysis that can help us understand if consumers are going to gravitate towards those type of shoppable opportunities in the same way that they have, or to the same degree that they have on social media, and then to understand what are the differences, how do brands need to approach it, can they expect the same results that consumers have given them so far on a platform like TikTok?
Yeah, so obviously there is a lot of noise and hype and news and announcement around TikTok, but when we see in terms of results, we see, I think, Facebook is like number one because of the marketplace, and there are others. So if it's okay with you, let's try to analyze and talk about each one of these platforms. So social media, right? So TikTok, I think it's clear about their direction. It used to be an entertainment platform, then a search platform. Now it's going to be a shopping platform. The checkout is only within TikTok, right? And you can fulfillment can be through TikTok or through other suppliers. So this is clear. And I know you also covered and shared more information about the Facebook and specifically the marketplace with insights at Facebook and tagging products on Instagram. So let's cover the Meta aspects of shoppable media.
Right. So Meta has been investing in this space in the shop, in the social commerce space the longest, at least in the US. So they've been really sort of building the infrastructure, testing to see what works, adding the shopping button to the home toolbar of Instagram and then taking it away. This type of experimentation they've been really at the forefront of this for years. And what Instagram and Meta in general have to their advantage is they are already an advertising powerhouse that has relationships with brands. They have an advertising ecosystem. They have platforms that brands trust and really leverage to connect with their audiences. And this is something that, in comparison to TikTok, which is a little bit more of the Wild West, is a stark contrast between if you think about if you're a brand and you want to engage with an audience and potentially sell products directly on the platform, that you're thinking about this very differently. So the advantage that Meta has really is it is a trusted platform for brands and for established brands and for customers and users to engage with these brands, right? This is what it maybe lacks is Meta, and particularly Instagram, is really a place for discovering products. The way that consumers think about it, it's a huge driver of discovery. We did a really in-depth path to purchase consumer survey last year, and it really unveiled the power, particularly with millennials and older generations, and just how powerful social media and Instagram is for driving discovery. But when it comes to conversions, it hasn't been as powerful, and not to say that TikTok at this point is, but the momentum that we're seeing and the infrastructure that TikTok has built super quickly is indicating that it has a little bit more momentum out of the gate when it comes to getting its shoppers to convert. And I'll pause there because I know that I have more to say about TikTok, but I know we're just talking about Meta right now, but I figured the comparison was useful.
Yes, of course, of course. It's so funny that you mentioned that, Meta today people feel that it's a reliable and trustworthy platform, but it wasn't that the case like 2-3 years ago before TikTok. Like, TikTok is the Wild Wild West, exactly as you define it. Brackets China, right? Let's continue. And then Facebook now and Meta are considered as the more mature, right? And a company that you respect and you are happy to share your credit card details with them, right? So things are turning around very, very fast.
Exactly. And I think that's a good lesson is that, perception can change very quickly. Yeah. In the digital age, right? I mean, as fast as the technology moves, the perception moves just along with it, right?
Exactly. And definitely there are a lot of shoppable activities in Facebook, primarily around secondhand, right? In terms of the marketplace, which again is a huge trend, right?
It's a huge piece, when you look at the consumer behavior and the ways that consumers are engaging, you'd be remiss to say that just because a certain flavor of commerce takes place on a platform, that this is a platform that is going to enable all types of commerce, right? Because people are very comfortable, using Facebook Marketplace as a person-to-person marketplace, but that's not necessarily transferable to the way that people want to shop and engage with brands or with a marketplace like Amazon.
Interesting. Interesting. Anyhow, nevertheless, that's a huge, look at Vinted, right? I mean, with the 685% growth or something this last year. So Probably, you know, Meta are happy with this segment. Let's see. I mean, they've canceled, as you say, the shop button on Instagram. They canceled live shopping. They canceled probably, you know, zeroing or focusing on other things. And I know we want to talk about TikTok, right? I mean, what how do you see this this wild, wild west evolving?
Right. So, I mean, that's just to continue with that thread for sure. I mean, mm-hmm. what TikTok has going for it is they've inked a lot of partnerships to try and create their own fulfillment branch to enable all of the back end shopping for the U.S. audience. They have leveraged everything that they have going for them in terms of creators and the discovery algorithm to usher in shopping. But the marketplace right now of TikTok Shop is, you know, it's the Wild West is the way to say it. I mean, there's a lot of skepticism around the quality of the products. The bar of entry for people to start selling products on TikTok Shop is very low. So that leads to quality control issues. It's not necessarily something that we've seen big brands jump on board with right out of the gate. Obviously, that's different now. You're seeing, you know, Coke being most notably a big brand that's really leveraging TikTok Shop in a unique mm-hmm. way. But up until this point, brands have been are rather cautious about proceeding with, you know, being on that platform just for brand safety issues. And it is evolving in a way that it's evolving very fast. I think this is something that TikTok has done strategically. They want to get as many people engaging with the shopping aspects of the platform as possible. And they are doing that at the potential expense of having a marketplace that has a lot of kinks that need to be smoothed out, and they're also doing it at the potential risk of the user experience on the platform, which I think is certainly a gamble, but it's pretty gutsy, because there have been a lot of complaints just sort of out there anecdotally about how the influence of TikTok Shop is impacting the user experience on the platform. People are seeing mm-hmm. A lot of promotions for shopping content, and that's coming at the expense of the other algorithm-driven entertainment content that really catapulted TikTok to the, you know, upper echelons of social networks. So they are introducing this piece that's potentially going to be very lucrative, but it's also extremely disruptive to the regular flow of the user experience on TikTok. So I think this is it's a drastically different approach to in comparison to something like what Meta does, which is, you know, they wait 3 years to put an icon on the toolbar, and then they're very tepid about it, and then they, you know, sort of will remove it and keep retooling it. TikTok was not afraid to really just drop a bomb on the platform and see how it grows organically, which time will tell to see if it's successful, but fascinating nonetheless.
Yes. And I think it's very important to discuss about the different products that are probably relevant for this type of engagement on TikTok. Last year, what worked, you know, as I saw, is like maybe like gadgets that are very catchy and nice. You know, like within 20 seconds, you can, you know, get inspired, like a real transformation, maybe cosmetic products, you know, before and after that you can, you know, show immediately. I mean, this type of products, and it was very, very limited. I mean, the success was around specifically these things. But as you said, let's see if more brands will come, you know, with their names, right? Whether it's clothing or, you know, food and beverages, gardening or home goods. So that's, again, yet to be seen. I think also when we talk about TikTok, it's very important to discuss also the live shopping aspects of TikTok. You know, they're encouraging, you know, in the latest announcement also, they're encouraging brands to, or you know, sellers to spend at least 2 hours doing live shopping, like a minimum, for the algorithm to work, you know, on their behalf. Look, I'm not sure. I'm not convinced. Like, I mean, who is going to stay on TikTok on this small phone for 2 hours? It's not China, I guess. It's completely different.
Yeah, it's, you know, this is really interesting, because in spite of all of the efforts that social networks and tech companies and retailers have put in the last couple of years to make live shopping take off, it really hasn't moved the needle in any significant way in the US. Mm-hmm. But the size of the market in China, I think it appears to be too alluring to not keep trying to make something work. And I think if there's any platform that's going to be able to sort of crack the code, it's TikTok, right? Because of their Chinese roots. They, you know, I'm sure they're smart people. They probably are well aware of the fact that the Western creator and the Western audience is very different from the audience and the folks who are who are creating content on social media in China. So I think there's going to be an element of live shopping that is successful on TikTok. And I think when you are focused on building a platform that has multifaceted entertainment and commerce options, why not have live shopping as a piece of it, right? And I think there's reason to keep promoting it, which TikTok seems to be doing. But I don't see it exactly, usurping or stealing any of the excitement around these, as you just called out, short form video content that shows the transformation or use of a product in a very quick, entertaining, and effective way, which has been successful on TikTok. That type of content is almost the antithesis of what you can do with a product on live shopping, right?
Live shopping.
Live shopping is longer. You can't use special effects. You can demonstrate the use of a product, but it's in a completely different way because it has to be in real time. It's just very different compared to what we've seen work so far on TikTok.
And it's also like authentic type of video versus fully polished that you need for a live shopping environment. Like TikTok is very authentic. No one cares about the background or anything. It just, you know, we're totally focused on the character, like on the talking head and the movement. So live shopping is something completely different. Right. But I guess, as you said, part of a strategy for a brand or retailer, hey, let's do like a weekly show, right? Which is more probably an entertainment type of an event. And hey, we stick here and there like a few products that you can sell. This is something that we see it work, and mostly pushed by the brand owner or some of his representative, and not like influencers that they don't know how to answer the questions even sometimes.
Of course, right, so that's another element of it. And just to say quickly, I mean, think about it through the lens of a product category, right? And that's another key difference between Meta's social commerce and TikTok social commerce, right? Is you know, Meta, is particularly Instagram, fashion and accessories and beauty, that's really the bread and butter of those platforms, right? And for a fashion retailer or a brand, a live stream featuring brand representatives, perhaps the fashion designers themselves, other influencers engaging, there's something there that could work, right? TikTok, because of, I think, the Wild West nature of the shop, the fact that most of the items that do well on TikTok are low cost, so they're not, you know, designer names. That type of product that's doing well, also not super conducive to live streaming, also fits better in the short video, lower cost product. You either gravitate it or you don't, and you move on. So there's a lot of nuance.
Exactly. Correct. Definitely. There are a lot of nuance. And also, let's spend a few minutes around YouTube. I mean, YouTube announced the Shopify integration last year. They've just announced, I think, last week about the option to tag products in YouTube, right?
Right.
Which is also very, very interesting. So I guess probably, you know, again, maybe because TikTok is creating so much noise, so everyone tried to adapt in a certain way. Do you see, and some of the reports also show that YouTube is going to be very, you know, key players in terms of shoppable video. What are your thoughts on YouTube in this domain?
I completely agree. I think that it is, YouTube is a platform that can certainly be overlooked during this conversation, probably because it's, you know, been around the longest. And it also doesn't, it hasn't made as much of a splash in terms of their shoppable video components, but they've been just as, you know, just as much at the forefront of having these shoppable products as Meta and TikTok have. And when it comes to all of the data that we see around long form video usage and then video uses in general, YouTube still has tends to have the best numbers when it comes to engagement. They have had, there's been some ups and downs, I think, with YouTube over the years when it comes to their relationships with creators, in terms of creator monetization. There's been some instances, some periods of time where creators have moved away from the YouTube platform in favor of platforms like TikTok. When you look at sort of the hub for long form video, particularly a platform that is really established as not only a place for consumers to engage in shopping related activities, most likely things like try on hauls and unboxing and product tutorials, YouTube is still very, very firmly among the top places for consumers to do video based research. Particularly because the user behavior of YouTube is more active rather than passive. As an example, if I'm looking to buy a new television, I might go search YouTube best televisions and get product reviews. Or if I have a product in mind, I might search that review. TikTok is great because it'll surface potential new products for you to discover. And yes, search on TikTok is becoming more popular for sure. YouTube still has a good standing in terms of that upper funnel shopping discovery and product consideration and awareness stage. Yeah.
Interesting. And I heard also that Amazon are now providing as a beta the opportunity to embed also shoppable video, vertical videos like Tower, inside product pages and various aspects of their marketplace. And, you know, we started from the small screen. I mean, and then we grew to YouTube, maybe YouTube. And I think the majority, maybe half of the viewers are on desktop, right? On laptop. And let's talk about Amazon. It's opportunity maybe to start discussing about the retail media opportunity, which is driving, again, the conversion of shoppable events, right? Shoppable videos and shoppable media. Obviously, we heard that Netflix are going into providing advertising-based packages. Also, Amazon Prime has announced that. And so the AMC or the Amazon Marketing Cloud is going to be opened also for insertion of ads within Amazon Prime. Walmart agreed to acquire Vizio. So let's talk about the retail media opportunity and how do you see that from your report or from your analysis?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a huge piece because it's the result of a bunch of different things happening at the same time, right? So you have Amazon, which has, you know, years back had identified the value in their first party shopper data to potentially leverage as very effective ad targeting data. That then they've been building up their retail media network for years, and then you have other players like Walmart and Target that are doing the same thing. And as these retail media networks have reached maturity, you also have two other things happening at the same time. One is the fact that cookies are going away, so third-party cookie trackers, and that's something that the advertising industry has been anticipating for years, and it's now happening. It's very real, so it makes the first-party retail data and shopper data much more valuable. And then the third piece is the rise of connected TV. So that's another story within itself, but it fits in to, it's very relevant to this conversation around shoppable media. So to backtrack quickly for shoppable ads and shoppable media content on Amazon's own site. It's very interesting, right? Because when you have these large companies, they all try to do everything. So what Amazon is really good at is selling merchandise, right? But Amazon wants to be the place for entertainment, for shopping discovery as well. They want everything to happen within their ecosystem.
Yeah.
Whereas you have a company like Meta, who is really good at the entertainment and the shopping discovery aspect, but they're not good at the conversions. And I think they've, you know, Amazon has done things like Amazon Live, and they've created a TikTok-like feed within their app for shopping discovery. None of that has really taken off. Whereas, you know, as to varying degrees of success, Instagram and Meta have added, you know, there's the, so all of the social commerce and shopping tools as well. So what you've seen happen is most recently another story is that we heard about, I think at the end of last year, was that Amazon and Meta had created a partnership. So now the, you know, you can check out using your Amazon account within, you know, the Meta platform. So that's to me, that's a sort of an acknowledgement of we're not going to be the place that can do everything at once. So we need to sort of partner to connect this, the media piece and the commerce piece. The reason why that is now, so it's going to be so popular for brands is because of the retail media piece, right? So now, if you think about it, the example of social networks and retailers partnering, that's happening everywhere throughout the ecosystem, most notably in the connected TV space. So you have a company like Amazon that can do most of it on their own because they have a very robust retail media network. They own their own media properties. And then, of course, they have a massively successful e-commerce marketplace. You look at a company like Walmart, they have the marketplace. They have the data, the retail media network. But what they're missing is the media piece. So now we're seeing the acquisition of Vizio. This is coming, you know, on the heels of all these partnerships that they've created with NBC and Roku. So it's happening in two different ways, right? It's either trying to be self-contained or creating through a partnership with media platforms. But at the heart of it, the reason why retailers have the ability to be in this game in the first place is because of retail media. So it's really the centerpiece and why you're seeing this massive industry transformation where all of a sudden retailers really have a significant advantage in this space, because without the data, you can't really do any of this.
Yes. So it's very clear. I mean, the opportunity is huge, right? And obviously Amazon are like big chunk of this opportunity, and with Walmart together, even bigger. But then there is like a long tail of, you know, a big list of retailers. It seems to me that they are moving very, very slow, right? I mean, I don't know, maybe there is the adoption of the new technologies and having all this, you know, retail media network build up and advertising relationship in place. But this is what I feel. What are your thoughts about this long tail? I mean, there are so many companies that can benefit, obviously not just Amazon.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it depends how you look at it, right? Because one way you could say, okay, Amazon has been doing this. They've been ahead of the curve for years. And it's, you know, a no-brainer that other retailers need to be jumping on this trend. It's, you know, going to be a potentially massive revenue driver for an industry like retail, which is such a low margin business. It's so obvious. And these other retailers that have waited so long to, you know, build their own networks, all of that stuff. You can make that argument, right? But on the other hand, what you're really asking to a retailer to do is completely change its business model, right? If you think about a retailer in a traditional sense, a buyer, a wholesale buyer and then seller of goods in a physical store, and then say, okay, now you need to become a tech company. That's a pretty big ask. I don't know if you can hear, I've got a siren outside, so I'll just pause for a second. Sometimes you can hear it, sometimes you can't, but I don't want it to pick up on the track. So it's a significant ask to ask a retailer to completely, pivot and become a fully operational tech and data company in a matter of a couple of years. And I think that's why you've seen some of these retailers really, really struggle and take a long time to launching retail media networks. And the reality of it is when you have a company like Amazon, who is, quite several times larger in terms of the revenue that they take in and the their ability to invest in the infrastructure for new services, it makes it very hard to compete.
Yeah. Blake, I started in my career in the video space in 2000, right? Back then, it used to be called broadcast, right? There was no iPhone, no streaming, no CDNs, nothing. And we work with traditional broadcasters, content providers, cable companies, pay TV companies, satellite. But throughout the years, we always, discussed about the merge of, retail and commerce and media, which is actually happening today. It's really amazing to see. I mean, retailers today, they have in-house video production teams, right? And producers, and they're creating so much content and vice versa. Content companies are going into commerce and try to monetize through merchandising and everything. So it's a merge that is really amazing to see that is happening in front of our eyes. But also what I know, and specifically around the big screen type of human behavior, let's call it, right? It's more of a lean back type of behavior, right? You come back from work, you're so tired, sitting on your sofa, within two clicks on the remote, you want to watch something and that's it. Yes, we do engage while we watch with our social friends, right? On Facebook or other platform, but are we going to actually, engage our nervous system to create now shopping events, or are we going to really purchase while we see something like an entertainment or a movie or some kind of a live event or a sports event? I think it's like a completely different discussion versus when you hold a phone, you lean forward, you're actually engaged versus something that is like lean back. And so I know there is a lot of discussion around that, but let's see what happens.
Yeah. And I think, that you bring up a very good point that we've been, sitting here discussing this for almost 40 minutes and we barely even scratched the surface of all of these different shoppable media options that we're seeing now. And just to call out one thing very quickly is, you said the lean back experience. You come home at the end of the day, two clicks of the remote, you just want to be sitting there and not engaging. The shoppable media component needs to be one extra click. It needs to be that third click or else it's not going to work, right? So that's where the infrastructure really matters. And yes, are folks going to be watching a TV show and see a shirt that an actor is wearing and just because they can press a button and order it, that they're going to actually do that? I don't think so. I really don't think we're there yet because it removes a lot of consideration that is necessary. And also, people don't want to shop while they're consuming entertainment content. However, if you're watching something from on Amazon Prime Video and it cuts to a commercial, and because Amazon knows who's watching and what they've been searching, that they are probably, going to be in the market for something low cost, right? Let's say, you typically purchase coffee on Amazon once a month, and it's been a month, and Amazon knows that, and they can they can hit you with an ad for a new flavor or a new some sort of new coffee product or offering, and it entices mm-hmm. you enough, and it only costs $7, and with one click you can add it to your Amazon cart, so next time you're on Amazon, yep. it's in there, and you click it. I think there's something there. Once again, it's all, you know, when we talk about shoppable media, we're talking about a million different things at once, but there are some things that you can look at, and most people could say, as a consumer, I can tell you that I'm not going to engage in that behavior. That's not really going to work. But there are other parts. As the ecosystem becomes more sophisticated, particularly at the helm of companies like Amazon, where there are opportunities there.
Yeah. Sure. And that's a very, very good example of a use case that you've mentioned. It can also be like a product recommendation. I mean, next time you log into your Amazon account, it will be like a product recommendation that you can see because you watched it on Prime, you know, sure. day before, right? And also what I think is relevant is also on the, for example, on the movie page, on the product, the movie description or the TV series description, you can have like shoppable thumbnails over there before you started, right? Or even when you finish starting the event. So, I mean, such different scenarios that probably can be tested and checked. And also there is an opportunity also for offline experience, but that's something else. Blake, what we've missed? Any other topics that you want to address on this?
I think we've pretty much covered it, right? I mean, we could keep going for days. Yeah. I think when it comes to some of these exciting and interesting formats, but I think this is probably a pretty good overview, which I think the report really it sets out to sort of define the landscape as well as talk about what are some of the potential opportunities, and sort of the conclusion that I get to is what I talked about a few minutes ago is going to be difficult for consumers to gravitate towards a lot of these. It's going to be difficult for brands and retailers to get consumers to gravitate towards mm-hmm. a lot of these product, these shoppable media offerings and to engage with them. But there is an opportunity, I think, for, you know, low cost, fast moving consumer goods, particularly those who sell on Amazon and other yeah. more, you know, sophisticated retailers that are building out these networks, to engage customers in a lean back premium video setting, and then mm-hmm. have a very, very seamless connection to a marketplace that consumers are already using. So there are aspects of it not to shy away from, but also very difficult not to get sort of lost in all of the hype from this big shoppable media cloud that we're seeing really, really yeah. rapidly expand in 2024.
Nice. So speaking about 2024 and the year ahead, I have two more questions that I think are important to discuss. The first one is, you know, how you will define success of adopting shoppable video, let's say 1 year from now, 2 years from now. What will be the KPI? What will be the measurement that say, hey, this is well adopted, it's an amazing success? And maybe the second part of this question, and you can answer any way you like, is like, how do you see the brands are adopting this from their perspective? Are they investing more in influencer and creators relationship? Are they spending more budgets on videos? Do you see them, you know, ads are becoming videos? How do you see this implementing or implemented from the brand side?
Yeah, absolutely. I think to answer your first question, the KPI, I think, is going to have to be, it can't just be impressions, right? Because mm-hmm. then it's different from an advertisement that doesn't have a mm-hmm. shoppable component to it, right? Mm-hmm. So there's going to have to be a level of engagement with the ad that a consumer proactively takes while seeing the advertisement or engaging with the media, that is actually a true measurement. Because if it's just appearing and nobody's engaging with it, that means either consumers aren't interested, or even worse, find that annoying, and they don't want to have a prompt to engage with something, whether it's a product listing or whatever, when they're trying to entertained, watch entertaining content. I think a click through, QR code to a website, something that can be very easily tracked, by the way. I mean, that's the great thing about this, right, is that it's all closed loop. So if you're a retailer, you can really communicate that value to the brand, but then adding to cart, and as well conversion. So I think if you're a retailer and you can actually prove that there is some sort of form of engagement on any one of those three levels, then I think that's going to be something that it's going to be very necessary to show. But if they can, then it's very easy to communicate that it's going to be successful. In terms of how brands are engaging with it, I think the good thing for brands is that it's a very natural extension to what brands have been doing over the last 5 to 10 years in advertising, right? When you talk about working with creators, investing in video content, spending more away from traditional and on connected TV, where there are better targeting capabilities, investing in retail media networks, especially if you're a CPG, these are all things that brands should have been doing already. So if there are new, if retailers or media platforms are selling brands or pitching them new shoppable components, it should already be sort of be the natural next step in the investments that they've been making in the digital space over the next couple of years. But I would say, like any new space, whether it's advertising or media, or in this instance, the intersection of both, is to experiment with it, test and learn. And I think that we're still, as an industry, when it comes to shoppable media, most shoppable media, and even with, something like social commerce, which is like a form of shoppable media that is just it's a little bit more established, it's still test and learn. Right. I mean, I think that proceeding with caution, but also, don't miss out on the potential opportunities, is the way that brands should be thinking about this space.
Like, I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much. It was really super, super interesting. Thank you for all the insights and valuable points. Really appreciate it a lot. And again, I'm really fascinated and, super interested about what's going to happen, in the next year. Definitely, we will experience a lot of implementation of shoppable media, again, across all the screen sizes, right? Which is really exciting to see all this evolving. But it would be great to monitor this, throughout the year. So thank you so much, Blake. How people can find the report and you?
Yeah, so you can feel free to find me on LinkedIn, Blake Droche. I often share data and little snippets of reports that I'm publishing. Our reports are behind a paywall for clients only. So obviously, if you're interested in that, feel free to contact Insider Intelligence eMarketer, and we can get you sorted out. Find out if your company is already a subscriber or not. But if you want to connect with me directly, LinkedIn is the best place. I'm always trying to share interesting data and content with my followers and keep everyone abreast of the reports that I'm putting out, which are often hitting on this space, the convergence of media and commerce, as well as the path to purchase. So what are the types of media that consumers are engaging with that is ultimately leading to conversions, whether it's in the physical world or online?
Great, Blake, thank you so much. I wish you an improved weather in New York as well.
Thanks, Ian. Well, it's been great to be here and a pleasure chatting with you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us on this episode. Your support means the world to us. If today's episode has been insightful for you, consider sharing it with someone who would also benefit. Even one share can make a big difference. Looking to elevate your e-commerce game? Discover Vimi, a multi-channel e-commerce platform that will transform your business with the power of shoppable video. Visit us at vimi.net to learn more. It's Vimi, VIMMI.net. Thank you for being part of our journey. Stay tuned for more invaluable insights in our next episode.